This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, this week, inshallah, we're going to be covering more names than we usually cover. They're just going to be shorter descriptions, inshallah. And the first is Al-Kabir or Al-Mutakabbir, both of them together, Al-Kabir and Al-Mutakabbir. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, again, he mentions Al-Kabir specifically in Surah Al-Hashr. So we're still continuing with that long list of names that's mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Hashr. Allah says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. So now we've gone through all of those names, alhamdulillah, and we're now at Al-Mutakabbir, and paired with it is the name Al-Kabir. Both of them together. Now, Al-Kabir is a name that is until now very familiar to the Arabic ear. They still know what that means. It's something that's used regularly in the language up until now. It's not like something that, like a name that we're going to get to, Al-Bari, where people may not really know what that means. But Al-Kabir, until now, it simply means that which is great or that which is large. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is the great. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Kabir. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Mutakabbir. Now, it's mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sunnah, Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَهُوَ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ يَقُولُ يَأْخُذَ الْجَبَّارُ سَمَوَاتِهِ وَأَرْضِهِ بِيَدِهِ وَقَبَضَ يَدَهُ فَجَعَلَ يَقْبِضُهَا وَيَبْسُطُهَا ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْجَبَّارُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ قال ويتمايل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن يمينه وعن شماله حتى نظرت إلى المنبر يتحرك من أسفل شيء منه حتى إني لأقول أساقط هو برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was on the minbar and he was saying that Allah عز وجل will grab the heavens and the earth in his right hand. And he will say, I am al-jabbar. I am the powerful, I am the mighty. The name that we went over last week. أنا المتكبر. I am the Mutakabbir, we're going to explain what that means also. But I am al-mutakabbir. And then he will say, where are the tyrants of earth? Where are the tyrants of earth? And the narrator says, the minbar was shaking. The minbar was shaking. And I began to think, is the minbar going to fall with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about how Allah azza wa jal is going to speak on that day and what Allah azza wa jal is going to say. As for al-kabir, it's mentioned in 6 places in the Quran. Of them is a very controversial, very famous verse, Surah An-Nisa, verse 434, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." Allah says, "The men are the providers, the maintainers of women." Bima faddala Allahu ba'dhum 'ala ba'd. I want you to pay attention to why this name is mentioned. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Bima faddala Allahu ba'dhum 'ala ba'dhum bima anfaqu min amwalihim." Because of what Allah has preferred some over others and due to what they spend of their wealth. And then he says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ فِينْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. So Allah Azza wa Jal then instructs the man and the woman with regards to their relationship. And Allah says, if you fear nushuz, which is discord from the woman, فَعِظُوهُنْ وَهَجْرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. And this is the part that's very controversial, which Allah Azza wa Jal admonishes the man. He says, admonish your spouse, and then if not, وَهَجْرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, separate yourselves from them. And then the word that is the subject of a lot of talk, which is وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. If they obey you, then do not seek out any فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا, which means don't seek some sort of power over them, or don't seek to overpower them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًا كَبِيرًا. Allah is ever high, and Allah Azza wa Jal is ever powerful, or Allah Azza wa Jal is ever great. What do you think is the reason why Allah being Ali and Kabir is mentioned at the end of that verse? What do you guys think? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. After Allah Azza wa Jal tells the man, فَعِظُهُنَّ وَهْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعُ وَضْرِبُهُنَّ, he says all of these things. It's translated as, admonish them,
separate yourself from them,
strike them. That's exactly that, right? Where Allah Azza wa Jal, He's basically saying, even though you're given this sort of access, or you're the one who's being told to do all of these things, remember, you have to remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Whatever you're able to do to your spouse, or whatever physical attributes you may have, or whatever dominance you may have over your wife, Allah Azza wa Jal is above you, and Allah Azza wa Jal is stronger than you. Allah Azza wa Jal is more mighty than you. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one time he saw a man slapping his slave. He had a slave and he slapped him. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, Allah Azza wa Jal has more power over you than you have over this person. And so the man then freed him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was afraid. But this reminder that whoever Allah places under our care, or whoever Allah places under our authority, Allah Azza wa Jal has greater power over us.
Whether it's that of a spouse, whether it's that of children,
whoever it is, whether that it's that of a worker, whoever it is that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us power over them, Allah Azza wa Jal has greater power over us. And Al-Kabir is the one who's great in everything. Allah is great in His essence, in His that. Allah Azza wa Jal is great in His attributes. Allah is great in His names. Allah Azza wa Jal is great in His actions. Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than everything that we experience. And so we remember in our salah to say Allahu Akbar. Right? You come into the prayer, you're super distracted, and you are reminded to say Allahu Akbar, and you do this motion as if you are casting everything that is in front of you behind you, because you're standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and then you recite another surah, right? And already you're starting to get distracted again. You're starting to think about your family or your job or what you're going to do right after the salah. And so when you go into ruku', what do you say again? You say Allahu Akbar again, right? And throughout the salah, you're always reminding yourself, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And so it becomes this fortress that is protecting you from the arrows of shaitan as he tries to snatch away from your prayer. You continuously remind yourself, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You're like a camera that can just has to refocus, and it refocuses, and it refocuses, and it refocuses. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Not only that, but we're reminded of Allah Azza wa Jal being greater than us at any point in time where we may feel that we have ascended. So much so that when a person is traveling and they climb a hill, do you know what they say when they climb the hill? What we're taught to say when you're climbing a hill? Just take a guess. Allahu Akbar. I got to the peak of the mountain, I climbed. I say Allahu Akbar. Why? Because as high as I got, Allah Azza wa Jal is higher than me. And when you're descending, what do you say? You say Subhanallah. You say Subhanallah. Why? Because I'm lowering myself and Allah Azza wa Jal is never lowered. Allah Azza wa Jal is far removed from the imperfection of lowering. Right? And so, as high as I get, Allah is greater, Allah Azza wa Jal is higher. As low as I get, Allah Azza wa Jal is far removed from that. And these details of what you say and when you say it, if you were to just simply pay attention to it and notice it and just think about it, it's really amazing. Why is it that you say during the adhan, he says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. You say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why is it that that's what you say after the muaddin? Anyone want to take a guess? But you're not repeating after him. You're actually changing what he's saying. Okay, but out of all of the phrases that you could have said, why do you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Okay, what are you saying? Exactly. So it's all the success in the world you're being told is right here. Hayya ala salati, hayya ala falah. Come to the prayer, come to success. But you're recognizing that I can't have any success. Wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. My success is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so I need Allah's support and I need Allah's strength just for me to be able to actualize on this opportunity for success. So precise, it's very beautiful. So, the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us that this kibriya of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah says that a kibriya is my cloak.
Allah says, Al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azamatu izari man naza'ani wahidan minhuma alqaytuhu fi jahannam. He says that kibriya is pride. It comes from him being great. He says that it is my rida, it's my cloak. Wal-azamatu izari, and azama, greatness, is my lower garment. And Allah says, whoever naza'ani wahidan minhuma, whoever seeks to share these with me, whoever seeks to share these with me, I will cast them into the hellfire. And so kibriya, with regards to Allah Azza wa Jal, is an attribute of perfection. When a person has kibriya, when a person has arrogance, then it becomes, it's a negative connotation, completely negative with regards to a person, because they have no reason to be arrogant. Not only that, but that person will be cast into the hellfire. Not only that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that whoever has an atom's weight of kibr, the smallest, most insignificant portion of arrogance, that person will not enter paradise. And so, part of reflecting on the name Al-Kabir is to give Allah His station and give Allah His due right, and to seek to humble ourselves and to recognize that Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Kabir and I am not. And that if I feel this feeling of kibir, what is kibir? What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam define as being kibir? He told us exactly what it was. It's not just pride. Pride, it's in Islam, it actually has a definition. What does that mean? Because people, when you just translate it as pride, people say, well, I'm proud of my kids. Am I not going to go to paradise because of my kids? I'm proud of my grades. I'm proud of this. I'm proud of that. So it's not a good translation. It's the best one we've got. But kibir is actually defined. Because a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said that, a man said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I like looking good. I like dressing well. So what does that mean? Does that mean that... He said, no. Al-kibru batru al-haqqi wa ghamtu al-nas. He said, kibr is to reject the truth and to belittle people. That's what kibr is. Kibr is when I'm not going to reject, I'm going to reject a statement that came from somebody because she's female, or because it's my younger brother or younger sister. If it was my older brother or older sister, it would have been okay, right? Or because a million different reasons. But it's the truth, and we reject it. Humility is to accept the truth from whoever it comes from. That's the opposite. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, belittling people. I'm looking down on this person. Now, for me to look down on a person, I must have already put myself in a station where I'm above them. And that's where the problem is. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Allah says, O you who believe, let not one group of another, of believers, mock another group. Why? It may be that that person that you are belittling is better than you. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. Or let not another group of women belittle another group of believing women. Why? Because it may be that that person who you're calling a loser, or that person who has no social currency at all in the community, it may be that in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're better, they're higher. That might be the case. And you never know that. You know, a really beautiful story is the story, the hadith. It's a long hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us the story of the boy and the king. It's famously known as the boy and the king. And the story goes that there was a young boy who lived in a town. And in that town, there was one day some sort of like monster. I don't know what, it was just an animal, it was a beast that had blocked the main road for the community. They had no access to it. It became an actual problem. They couldn't get to where they needed to go. And all of a sudden, this young boy casts a stone and I can't believe I'm calling it a monster, but he kills the beast, right? Now, this boy was going and meeting a monk, or he was meeting a priest, or he was meeting a religious figure. And so this religious figure, this person, he's a sheikh, he's a priest, he's a monk, or whatever. When the boy tells him this story, he tells him, today you're better than me. Just off the bat, he says, you're better than me. He says, you're better than me. Allah chose you. There's something about you. You're better than me. And that phrase is something that I always used to think about. How much And then he began to teach him more. But the point is that this old man who must have spent his entire life worshiping Allah and studying and learning and things like that, here he sees a boy who's his student, and he recognizes that there's some fadl that Allah Azzawajal, some bounty that Allah Azzawajal gave him. And so he's able to humble himself to that fact and recognize that this person has a purpose that is beyond and greater than anything that he's accomplished in his life. That's a very difficult pill to swallow. It's not easy at all. It's not easy at all. But that indicates the greatness of that person who was his teacher, right? Anyway, so that's something that we all hope for. But of the effects of this name, Al-Kabir, is to recognize that the strongest a person is when they're seeking the support of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's when I'm at my strongest. That's when you're at your strongest. Is that when you are seeking the support of Al-Kabir. And to recognize that you are your greatest when you are humbling yourself to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Last week we talked about Al-Jabbar, that every time a person lowers themselves, Allah Azza wa Jalla raises them. And so I am at my greatest when I humble myself for Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that there is no one who can overpower me if my source of strength is Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there is no one who is more deserving of me seeking their support than Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so that's important for us to always remember, because the story that I like to share is I had went a couple of years ago, you know, when that whole Gaza issue was happening, and they had we had went to a protest, right, for Gaza. This was like 2 years ago, I think. And something that was very powerful in my mind was we had went, and there was a lot of just things that were forbidden, just things that are haram, point blank, that were just being done in this protest, right? And the whole idea is we're going to support our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We're going to do that for them. And that's great, and that's beautiful. And as you're trying to do all of these things and you're trying to support them, the number one goal is not to get a particular councilman to sign your petition or to get an electoral, some sort of public figure to support your project or what have you. Yeah, that's important and it's part of the process. But you never lose sight that if Allah says, يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَيَخْذُرْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Allah says that in the Quran. Here's the equation. Pay attention to it. Memorize it. Don't forget it. That if Allah supports you, then there's no one who's going to overpower you. And if Allah forsakes you, then it doesn't matter if you have the entire world behind you, you're not going to get what you want if Allah Azza wa Jalla is not on your side. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught this lesson to Ibn Abbas. He says, Ya Ghulam, he says in the long hadith, but he says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّ لَوْ اجْتَمُعَ عَلَىٰ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلَوْ اجْتَمُعَ عَلَىٰ يَضُرُّوكَ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. It's one of the two. The entire world was on your side tomorrow. If 7 billion people all got together to push your project through or whatever it is that you needed, they wouldn't be able to do anything beyond what Allah Azza wa Jalla has already written. And if they were all together, you imagine like one of those movies where you wake up in the movie and the guy has 7 billion people all looking to kill this person. You wouldn't be able to do anything. And yet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if that was all the case, you wouldn't be harmed except with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has written for you. And so the point is that the object of our intention, or our intention and our attention, has to be Allah Azza wa Jalla first and foremost. So this is with regards to Al-Kabir. Does anybody have any reflections they want to share with Al-Kabir in particular? Al-Kabir or Al-Mutakabbir. Those are two names. Yes. Thank you. You kind of just translated it for me. That's all you did. Just so you know. Okay, so our next one is Al-Khaliq Al-Khalaq. These two names. Three names, actually. أحسن الخالقين also. الخالق and الخلاق and أحسن الخالقين. So that's three names. الخالق has been mentioned 11 times. Guess the first place we're going to mention. You guys can't give me blank stares, man. Huh? Surah Al-Hashr, exactly. Very good. Surah Al-Hashr. Kind of in the same surah we mention every single time, right? So Surah Al-Hashr,
Allah Azza wa Jal, you know the verse by now. In another verse, Allah says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. Allah is the creator of all things and He is over all things the disposer of affairs. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ انْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Allah says, we made the sperm drop into a clinging clot, and we made the clot into a lump of flesh, and we made from the lump bones, and we covered the bones with flesh, then we developed him into another creation, so blessed is Allah, the best of creators. So you have Al-Khaliq, which means the creator. You have Al-Khallaq, which means the creator. But it has a little bit of a difference. And then you have Ahsanul Khaliqeen, which means the best of creators. Or the best of creators. In another verse, Allah says, أَتَدْعُونَ بَعْلًا وَتَذِرُونَ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. Do you call upon Ba'l? And do you leave an idol that was worshipped? And do you leave the best of the creators? And Allah Azza wa Jal, in another verse, He says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Your Lord is Al-Khallaq, Al-Alim. Now what's the difference between Al-Khaliq and Al-Khallaq? Al-Khaliq is the default. Al-Khallaq is the one who consistently creates. It's not a one-time thing. So it's a serial creator. Someone who creates all the time. You can have a person who invents one time. They've created one invention. And then you can have someone who's always, always, always inventing. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Khaliq and Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Khallaq. Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. You see, right in this verse, Allah says, is not the one who created the heavens and the earth able to create like them again? He says, yes. And He is Al-Khallaq. Allah can create them again and again and again and again and again. Because He is Al-Khallaq, He is Al-Alim. He is the knowing, He is the creator. But now, you know that Al-Khallaq has this attribute of consistent creation, right? Perpetual creation. And so the translation that I'm looking at where he just says the knowing creator, it doesn't denote that. Something very powerful with regards to Al-Khaliq, Al-Khallaq, Ahsan Al-Khaliqeen is that all of the creation is evidence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything that exists is evidence of Allah's presence. Allah Azza wa Jal says, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ بَلِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says, this is the creation of Allah. So show me what everyone else has created. Rather, the ظالمون, the oppressive ones, are in clear, manifest misguidance. What have the others created? What has everyone other than Allah Azza wa Jal brought forth? And خَلْق does not mean to fashion. That's what we're going to talk about later, al-musawwir. But khalq is to initiate from nothing. It's to create from nothing. Allah Azza wa Jal from nothing created this universe. And so everything else, it's one of the meanings of al-khalq, but it's a secondary meaning. That I take something, the raw materials are already there, and I fashion it, and I put it together. Like Isa alayhi salam, he says, إِنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُم مِّنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ فَأَنْفُقُ فِيهِ. Isa alayhi salam, he says, I fashion for you. He uses the word khalq, but it doesn't mean that he's bringing it out of nothing. He says, I'm making from clay, I'm fashioning clay into the form of a bird. And then I breathe into it and it becomes a bird by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you have these two aspects of khalq. One, which is Allah Azza wa Jal alone is able to do, which is to create from nothing. And the second, which humanity has the ability to do, which is to create materials, to bring materials together and to be able to fashion them in a way where it becomes something new. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal calls Himself Ahsanul Khaliqeen. He is the best of those who create. He is the best of those who make. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in a beautiful verse, He says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ. He says, in the earth are signs for those who have certainty. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In yourselves are also signs. Don't you see? And so if you to look at just a few aspects of our own human bodies, just some quick research that I was able to do. Not a biology guy at all, but This body of ours has 7 octillion atoms. I don't even know how much that is. But it's 7 octillion. 37 to 40 trillion cells in your body. 37 to 70 trillion cells. The cells that generate your stomach, or the cells that line your stomach, regenerate every 5 days. Your skin's outer layer, the epidermis, is shed every 2 to 4 weeks. Our eyes can distinguish between 2.5 to 7.5 million colors. It's crazy, right? 7.5 million colors. Your nose can distinguish a trillion different smells. And if you were to just think about that, you're like, I know the difference between the smell of gasoline, the smell of smoke, the different types of smoke. I know a million different perfumes. I know the smells of so many different things. You just distinguish it. Your sense that bring about your memories, how they trigger your memories. All of this is from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Your fingers can feel a ridge that is 13 nanometers in size, 7,500 times smaller than the human hair. The pinky finger. Without your pinky finger, you would lose 50% of the power of your hand. You obviously need your index finger, your middle finger to grip or to grasp something, but your ring finger and your pinky finger together are where the power in your hand come from. You take your two hands, you clasp them together, that becomes roughly the size of your heart. It beats 100,000 times a minute. Every single time it's pushing forward with every beat, 5.5 liters of blood. If you live to 75 years old, that will fill 90 Olympic-sized swimming pools. If you were to take the DNA in your body and just stretch it out, it would be 10 billion miles, which is enough to go from here to Pluto and back, round trip. And that's all in your body. It's in my body. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, in you, there are signs. Don't you see? All you see when you look in the mirror is like, oh my God, I hate my nose. That's all you see? That's all you see? Allah says, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when you look up at towards the sky, He says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, I swear by what you see and what you don't see. Yesterday we had a passionate debate about how far different stars were. Nobody knew. That's what was made the debate so passionate. But if you were to look at our closest star system, these are our neighbors. These are like the closest ones to us. 4.3 light years away. 4.3 light years away, which means trillions of miles from Earth. Which means 300,000 times the distance from the Earth to the Sun, which is 93 million miles. Right? We know that the light that leaves the Sun, that comes to the Earth, it comes in 8 minutes. 8 minutes. So if you're talking about 4.3 light years away, how far is that? And that's the closest cluster of stars to our galaxy. And then there's the entire universe beyond that. How vast is the creation of Allah? And all of that is still as-sama' ad-dunya. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ. Allah says, we have adorned the sama' of this world, of the dunya, with lanterns. Meaning everything that's in the universe that we imagine and that we see and what we don't see and all of that is as-sama' ad-dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ says that as-sama' ad-dunya towards the next sama' is like a ring that's cast into a desert. And that sama' to the next sama' is like a ring that's cast into a desert. And that sama' to that sama' is like a ring that's cast into a desert. Until you reach the seventh. Until you reach the
kursi.
And then you reach the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You see Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-kabir, right? So all of that, now when you don't think of all of this, you think of yourself maybe, possibly, or you may delude yourself into thinking that I'm the center of the universe. When I actually look at the universe, I'm able to actually see my place in the universe. That I'm just something that... Yet at the same time, if I worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah raises me. And so I become khairul bariyah. I become the best of mankind. I become the best of His creation even. Right? That's the power of worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسْمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says, I swear by the setting of the stars. And it is an oath, if you knew, that is great. It's an oath that if you knew, was great. Also, we remember when we look at Al-Khaliq, that all of the creation worships Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of this vast creation, it worships Allah. And so if it all submits to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it all worships Allah Azza wa Jalla, then aren't I, who's made out of mere flesh and bones, more deserving of making sure that I pray on time? Aren't I more deserving of making sure that I protect myself from the hellfire? That I'm the one out of all of this creation. Allah says, إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا يَحْمِنَّهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Allah says that all of this creation did not want to carry the amana, the trust. Didn't want to carry the religion. And mankind was willing to carry it. Mankind carried it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. How oppressive and how ignorant is man. And all of this creation submits to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so I remember to submit to Allah. Allah says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحُهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Allah says, the seven heavens and the earth and whatever is in them all make tasbih of Him. And there is not a thing except that it makes tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His praise. But you don't understand their way of doing so. Indeed, He is ever forbearing and Allah Azza wa Jalla is ever forgiving. Reflecting on the creation, you know, this is one of our problems, is that it's one of many people's problems. I won't say it's everybody's problem. Alhamdulillah, a lot of people go out to the outdoors. But when you don't travel, when you don't go outside of your city, when you stay within, like, this light is artificial. It's not, it's artificial light, right? And so we go into our homes and we turn on the lights until midnight, till 1 a.m. And we're sitting there in artificial light. And then when we say we travel the earth, what do? We go from one man-made airport, we go to IAH, and then we hop into an airplane, and then we land wherever it is in another airport that we land in, right? And then we say we've traveled the earth, but we didn't see the mountains, and we didn't see the vastness of the desert, and we didn't see the perils of the ocean, and we didn't see the sky filled with stars. We didn't see ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض. We didn't see darkness one over the other. If you were to extend your hand in front of, you wouldn't be able to see it. We didn't experience any of these things that indicate to us, that inspire in us the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's one of the problems of living in modern society. If you don't take the time out to go and see what Allah Azza wa Jalla created. There are no mountains in Houston. Go out somewhere and see them. Right? There are no, I don't know, there's, go to the ocean. Go to the sea. Go and experience that. It will rejuvenate your iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Inna fi khalqi al-samawati wal-ard wa-ikhtilafi al-layli wal-nahar." Allah says, "In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the changing of night and day, li-ayatin li-ulil al-albab." There are signs for the people of intellect, understanding, reflection. Al-ladina yathkurun Allah qiyaman wa-qu'udan. Those who remember Allah Azza wa Jalla while standing and while sitting, wa-ala junubihim, and while lying down on their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect over the creation of the heavens and earth. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Lord, You didn't create this in vain. سُبْحَانَكَ, far removed from that You are. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Protect us from the hellfire. The mushrikeen, they say the exact opposite. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah says, we didn't create the heavens and the earth for nothing. You think all of this universe and all of these, this beautiful perfection, this creation that Allah Azza wa Jalla put together, that is incomparable, that it was all done just by accident or it was all done in jest or done in play. ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا. Allah says, that's what the disbelievers think. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe be to the disbelievers from the hellfire. Rather, all of this reminds us that Allah Azza wa Jalla created us to worship Him. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And so it all comes back to that. That I use the creation to remember the power of Allah, to see that Allah exists even before that. I'm reminded of one of the A'rab, a Bedouin man, who was asked, بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. How did you come to know your Lord? Like, how did you know that your Lord existed? And he said, this man's a Bedouin, all he's got is maybe some goats that he herds, a camel maybe, and a desert in front of him. So he said, إِنَّ الْبَعْرَ لَتَدُلُّ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ. He says, when I see animal droppings, it indicates to me that an animal walked by. وَإِنَّ أَثَرَ الْأَقْدَامِ لَتَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَسِيرِ. And when I see footprints, it indicates to me that someone walked by. It's not rocket science. He says, when I see animal droppings, I'm like, oh, my animal was over here. When I see footprints, I'm like, somebody else was over here.
فَسَمَاءٌ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجٍ وَأَرْضٌ ذَاتُ فِجَاجٍ وَبِحَارٌ ذَاتُ أَمْوَاجٍ
أَلَا يَدُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى لَطِيفِ الْخَبِيرِ. He says, a sky that is built with pillars and an earth that is filled with valleys and crevices and pathways and a sea that is filled with waves upon waves upon waves. All of that doesn't give indication of a Latif al-Khabir. All of that doesn't prove Allah's existence. It's simply cause and effect. Cause and effect. Okay. So that's some thoughts with regards to Al-Khaliq, the one who creates, the one who brings out of nothing. If you forget everything with regards to Al-Khaliq, remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the only one who initiates out of nothing. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the consistent creator. He is Al-Khalaq. And Allah Azza wa Jal, because He created us, He is the one who is deserving of our worship. There's a beautiful verse that I just want to end the Khaliq with, actually. Allah says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Look at the thought process. Look at the logical progression that happens here. Allah says, indeed your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and earth. فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. In 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And then established himself above the throne. يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ يَطْلُبُهُ حَثِيثًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومِ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. He covers the night with the day, and another night chases it rapidly, and he created the sun and the moon and the stars subjected by his command. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Unquestionably, his is the creation and the command. Blessed is Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Allah begins by saying, your Lord, Allah, is the one who created the heavens and the earth. 6 days. And then He ascended above the throne. And then He covers the night with the day, and He makes another night chase it. And He created the sun and the moon and the stars. He subjected it by His command. Allah is painting for you a picture of who He is and what He's done and what He's created. And then He says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. After all of that, Allah says, I am the one who created, and I am the one who has the command. After He told you He did all of that, and then tells you to pray 5 times a day, you're going to say no? It's like, He did all of that. Allah is that. Allah is that powerful. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to not do something, we say no. Allah tells us to do something, we say no. You're not in a position to say that after that description. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. How blessed is Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Okay. That is with Al-Khaliq. The next two are pretty short, which is Al-Bari and Al-Musawwir. Al-Bari is one of those words. It's also mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr, and it's mentioned in another place in the Quran, which is Surah Al-Baqarah. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمْ الْعِجْلِ فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says on the tongue of Musa, that Musa said to his people, Bani Israel, in Surah Al-Baqarah, oh my people, you have wronged yourselves by taking the calf for worship. So repent to your bari', and it's translated as creator, and kill yourselves. That is better for all of you in the sight of your creator. Then He accepted your repentance. Indeed, He is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. So with Bani Israel, it's kind of like strange, right? It's like, kill yourself. How is that repentance? Bani Israel, their repentance was very shaq. It was very difficult. Their sins, when they committed sins and they had to repent from them, it was very difficult. Their sharia was much more rigid than our sharia. It wasn't just a matter of making tawbah and that's it. Okay, so here in this case, they took the calf as an object of worship, and their tawbah was to actually kill themselves. Nonetheless, that's not our point of discussion. Our point of discussion is the use of the word bari'. What does al-bari' mean? Al-bari', al-khaliq, and al-musawwir, all three of them have very similar connotations. But they're one stage after the other. So Al-Khaliq is the one who brings from nothing. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who, Al-Khaliq is the one who initiates from nothing. Al-Bari' or Al-Khaliq, even before that, Al-Khaliq is the one who wills something into existence. So Allah wills or decrees that something come into existence. Al-Bari' is the one who then takes that, creates that thing, and he creates it appropriate to its purpose. So Al-Bari' is the one who creates something appropriate to its purpose. Meaning I can invent something, and I say this is for this purpose. And it completely flops. It doesn't do it at all. It doesn't serve its job, the reason why it was made. Okay, and that happens a lot. However, Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He creates something, it fulfills its purpose completely. Perfectly. So it becomes appropriate for its purpose, and then Al-Musawwir is the one who fashions it. Al-Musawwir is the one who designs it. Al-Musawwir is the one who makes it look the way that it looks. So Al-Bari, in short, is the one who brings something into existence. So that's one meaning. And in that sense, it's similar to Al-Khaliq. Number two, Al-Bari is also the one who separates some of the creation from the other by making them have distinctive qualities. Bari. And that's from that you have like words like bara'a, which means I am distinguished from this person. Bari, I am free, I am disassociated from this. I'm separate from this, is what you're saying. When you say that ana bari from this, I am separate from this, okay? I don't share its qualities. I'm distinguished from it. And so al-bari is the one who separates things one from another. He makes me different than you. And he makes two brothers separate in some ways. They're distinguished, right? Even if they're identical, there's still things that are separate from them. So al-bari is the one who distinguishes between others. Another meaning of al-bari, number three, is it's indicative that we are created from clay, turab. Because al-bari, or al-bari is turab, which is dust. And a fourth opinion of al-bari is the one who created mankind with no inconsistency. The one who created mankind with no inconsistency. What does that mean? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Allah says, the one who created seven heavens, one above the other, you don't see any inconsistency in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So cast your eye again and see if there are any glitches. Do you see any mistakes in the creation of Allah?
Then go and look again.
See it, check it out again. Go look, go search. Your eyesight will come back being humbled. Okay, so the Bari is the one who does all of these things. And specifically with regards to Al-Bari, the main thing that I want you to pay attention to is that it is the next stage of Al-Khaliq, and it is the one who creates something in accordance with its purpose. He creates in accordance with the purpose of that creation. It's always appropriate. And the last one, inshallah ta'ala, that we'll go over briefly is Al-Musawwir. And these are all continuing. Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. And Al-Musawwir is the last name that's mentioned in that sequence in Surah Al-Hashr. It's the last one. Lahu al-asma'ul husna. Al-Musawwir, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it in Surah Al-Hashr, and Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it in other places. Allah said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ Actually, no. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah says, He is the one, الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ. Allah is the one who fashions you in the wombs, however He wills. There's no deity except Him. He's the exalted in might. He's the wise. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah is the one who fashions you and designs you in the wombs. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says to mankind, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Allah says, O mankind, what deceived you concerning your Lord the Generous, who created you, He proportioned you, balanced you, in whatever form He willed, He assembled you. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who fashioned and designed and assembled, and He's the one who made me look the way that I look, and He made you look the way that you looked. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who designed all of that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah says, we have created mankind to be in the best of molds. There is a man who, I think it was during the time of Harun al-Rashid, he was talking to his wife. And he said to his wife, one time he was just sweet talking her, And he said, you are divorced if you're not more beautiful than the moon. If you're not more beautiful than the moon, you're divorced. And so the woman, then she was a very righteous woman. She was like, I'm not more beautiful than the moon. We've got a problem now. So he definitely had a problem because it backfired. So he went to the Emir. He went to Harun al-Rashid and he told him what he said. And so he summoned the fuqaha in his court. This is the situation. This is the problem. Is this man divorced? And so people said, yes, he's divorced. What do you want? She's not more beautiful than the moon. Look at the moon. She's not more beautiful than the moon. And they kept on going and kept on going. Until finally, one of the fuqaha in the court, he said, no, she's not. He's not divorced. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah says, we have created mankind to be in the best form. There is no form better than the form of the human being. He used this verse to prove that. And so if that's the case, then your wife is more beautiful than the moon, and you're more beautiful than the moon, and we're all more beautiful than the moon. And so he told him, he said, Allah has relieved you. Go back and don't do that again. Right? Don't put yourself in these types of conditions where you say to your wife, you're divorced, if such and such. Find another way to sweet talk her. So This was just a story that came to mind with regards to that verse. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-musawwir. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who forms however He wills. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who fashions us however He wills. So these names are all related to each other: al-Khaliq, al-Bari, and al-Musawwir. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we conclude this part. Inshallah ta'ala, of these names. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I guess if that's a question, I don't know if that was a question or not. Okay. All right, so if there are any questions though, I'm willing to take them. If not, we are done, inshallah ta'ala. And next week at this time, we'll continue, inshallah ta'ala, with Surah Al-Kahf with Sheikh Waleed for short. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.